Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. It is Wednesday, July 17th. And tonight, if you rush home, you can listen to J.D. Vance, who will explain to you why Donald Trump is America's Hitler. Oh, I'm sorry. He doesn't tell that story anymore. Okay. We won't worry about that. But anyway, that was the story. That was what J.D. Vance used to say. He used to say that he used to say more than that, actually. He said that Donald Trump was likely America's Hitler. He said that Donald Trump was unhinged and unfit for the office and so forth. We all know the story. And if you don't know the story, which has been told so many times, not, of course, for Chris Christie, not, of course, for Mitt Romney, not for Liz Cheney, but for so many of these other people in the Republican Party. And now, as of last night, the same story has been told by Nikki Haley, which is essentially this. Donald Trump is unfit to be president. Donald Trump is insane. He's dangerous, unhinged. You know, all of these different things, except when it's necessary, you can just look at everybody and say, Saturday Night Live style from 40 years ago, never mind. And that's exactly what Nikki Haley did last night. I mean, unbelievably enough, she stood up and said first, and she made it clear at the beginning, she said, let me say that she is unqualified in favor of Donald Trump after 1 month ago saying the man was unfit, unhinged, dangerous. She could never support what he was doing. But I don't know, he suddenly found something. Religion, but not religion, but sort of a Trump religion that all of these people are buying into. And look, it's not hard to understand why they're doing it. I mean, it's very clear what's happening. Each one of these people who is jumping on the Trump train, they're all basically saying they want a life in the Republican Party. They want to be respected. They want to be loved. And this is how they're going to do it. They're going to reach out to all these millions who are chasing around after Trump, and they will pander to them in the same way that Trump will. But first, you have to pander to Trump. And so that's what is being done here. And you know, it's not a surprise. It's certainly not an example of a profile in courage, which, of course, you would definitely identify as being Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, Chris Christie. These people have stood up and done what was necessary. That is, of course, told the truth. Now, don't get me wrong. Nikki Haley has told the truth. She's just reversed it. That's all. Not only did she tell the truth, but she explained how this works. She went through the whole process of talking about how people up front on camera would say that they love Donald Trump. And then they'd walk away from the camera and they would say, it's all a lie. Trump is dangerous. He's got to get removed from all of this. We can't live with him, and he can't get elected. Yeah, that was another thing that Nikki Haley said, which is actually very true. She said that Donald Trump could not be elected president. She said that a month ago. 1 month ago, she said that Donald Trump running for president on the Republican Party would be suicide for the Republican Party. That Donald Trump cannot win. But not last night. Because, apparently, Nikki Haley would like to be president in 2028. That's got to be what this is all about. Lie to everybody. Tell them what they want to hear. And then when Donald loses, watch. She'll jump up and say, listen to this quote where I said it was suicide. Elect me in 2028. I mean, that's the story here. Of course, J.D. Vance wants the same thing, and J.D. Vance has said the same thing. You know, Donald Trump is America's Hitler. Can't be any clearer than that. Now, of course, he's America's savior. Until he's not. Until J.D. Vance can say that he is. But the problem is that all of these people have one barrier in front of them that Donald does not have. They don't have a 10-year history on a television show of looking into the eyes of the American public and making up stories, which are fine for sitcoms, reality TV shows, any of this. I mean, you can lie into a camera for Mark Burnett from now until forever. It's not illegal. It's not hurting anybody. Just people do it. And Donald did it for 10 years. Little did he know that 10 years would bring him unlimited and unending support from millions of people who think that Robert Young, who was, of course, Marcus Welby, could take out your appendix. Of course, he can't. And if he tried, you would find yourself, well, not in a hospital. It'd be worse than that. So the point being, what you hear on television from these people, if you know that it's just fantasy, that's fine. If you know that you're hearing the words of one of the greatest con men in American history, and that for sure we can say about Trump, that as far as being a con man, as far as his lying abilities, this guy is among the best in history. That's for sure. Last night I talked about a PBS documentary, and you ought to watch it. It's really good. All you have to do is put in Huey Long, H-U-E-Y, Long, Huey Long, PBS documentary. It'll come right up, and you can watch it and hear what it was like in the early 1930s when the governor of Louisiana, Huey Long, not only ran around Louisiana lying like Trump and promising all kinds of things, including he promised that every man could be a king. Well, we know every man can't be a king, but that doesn't matter. People liked hearing that from Huey Long, who promised them so much. Of course, unlike Trump, he actually delivered on certain things in Louisiana, things like hospitals and all kinds of different projects that people truly did need. But then he went on to give the impression that he was some kind of a god instead of just an effective political operator. And he used that to jump onto the national scene and to claim the same kinds of powers. Well, sort of like Trump. Very much like Trump. If you watch it, believe me, they don't say a word about Trump in this. All you got to do is watch this, because you'll see it and you'll go, wait a minute, that's sort of like Trump. They won't say it because no one was thinking about it when this was made, but I can tell you it is very similar. It's a con game. The only problem is Huey Long wasn't able to continue this. A member of his family got in a fight with him, and that was the end of Huey Long. But in the case of Donald Trump, all he lost was a quarter of an ear, and that's good. I'm glad. I want him to hear everything when the judge tells him how much time he has to spend in prison. I want that ear completely intact. I don't want Donald to have any problems. I want him in jail where he belongs. September 18th, that's coming up. I know no one's talking about it, thinking about it, but don't worry. Donald's not through with Judge Mershon, and guess what? Judge Mershon is not through with Donald, but we'll see. That's coming up on September the 18th. In the meantime, I mentioned this yesterday, but I just want to say it again. There's this guy running around in Missouri. His name is Lincoln Huff, and he's running for lieutenant governor. And the funny thing about it is, you know, the lieutenant governor of Missouri has absolutely nothing to do with the United States immigration policy. Frankly, it doesn't have anything to do with Missouri and anything related to immigration. In fact, the lieutenant governor of Missouri doesn't have anything to do at all. But all of that aside, he is out here making unbelievable claims about illegal drugs coming across the border to try to destroy your children, and illegal immigrants coming here to vote in order to support Democratic candidates. Well, I bring this up because it was discussed last night at the Republican convention. This whole story about Democrats wanting to open the borders. In fact, not just Democrats. In this case, actually focusing on Kamala Harris and saying that she wants illegal voters to come here and vote for the Democratic Party, because she doesn't care about your kids. She wants these people to cross the border and then kill your children. Well, I mean, it's about one step better than claiming that Hillary was eating babies in a pizza parlor. So it's a little better than that. Not much, but a little bit better. And they're going to make these claims all the way into November. And what they think is that the American people are so stupid that they're going to listen to this and that they're going to all jump on board, because they're all going to be afraid the people are coming from Venezuela to vote for Democrats. And honestly, none of this is happening at all. There aren't any people crossing the border who are voting illegally. Not any. And if you don't believe me, I mean, you can go online and look up every single Secretary of State in any of the states that were, you know, a little questionable from the Republican Party side, or were very close. For example, Arizona or Georgia. You can go take a look at those. The Arizona and Georgian Secretary of States both said that the election was not only fair, but probably one of the fairest elections that they've ever seen in the history of their states. But this claim is continually made that somebody from Venezuela is coming over to vote for Democrats. I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's an article in the New York Times last week. It's so good. You really ought to look it up. I mentioned it before. It's about a family of immigrants who walked like 5,000 miles to get to the United States. I mean, it took years, obviously. They crossed the border. They came in. They are trying to find their way to becoming legal Americans. I don't know what their chances are if they had to deal with the Trump people. In fact, what am I even saying? I don't know. Of course I know. We're going to deport everybody. First, they're going to take people and put them in camps, and then they're going to send them out of the country. And some of these people, in fact, many, could be American citizens. Because let me tell you something. Trump has made this clear. You know the old story, if you read the 14th Amendment, about how if you're born in the United States, you're a citizen? Well, they are resisting that one. Trump and his people are resisting it. They resisted it 4 years ago, and they certainly are now. And basically what they're saying is that if you read the words say something about being within the jurisdiction of the United States, being born here and within the jurisdiction of the United States, and they're making the claim that everybody isn't within the jurisdiction of the United States, and therefore you can just send them back. It's nonsense. Believe me, it doesn't mean anything, and there isn't any court that would uphold anything like this unless, you know, Donald were president and insisted, and then you got a bunch of Aileen Cannons running around willing to do the bidding of the new American Hitler. I mean, this is what's going on here. This is insanity. And with that in mind, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who is the leader of this in the Senate, and now President Biden, have come out in the last 2 days with some very strong proposals for reforming the Supreme Court. And the interesting thing about it is, from my standpoint, I'm just talking about me, I've always had this great love for the Supreme Court. I studied it at UCLA. And when I say I studied it, I had one of the best constitutional law professors you can imagine. He was incredible. Today he's in his 80s, as a professor emeritus, and he was just incredible. Name is Robert Gerstein, and you know, he taught for decades at UCLA. He was just phenomenal, and he really brought the Constitution and constitutional law specifically alive for just thousands of students at UCLA. And he was one of the best professors I've ever had. And I can tell you now, because he was also teaching us this for me, in my case, it was 1970. So it was right on the heels of all of the decisions that were made by the Warren Court, which dramatically changed American society. Now, here's the thing. As American society changed, there were indeed people who felt that they were being mistreated, ignored, demeaned, you know, all those kinds of things. But it wasn't the same as the culture warriors today who are now pushing back against the Warren Court 50 years later. And let me show you why. Listen how important this is. Listen how there's a difference between what the Warren Court did to change American society. In fact, it was clearly a cultural revolution in every respect, including what many people describe as a sexual revolution. And the truth is that it's understandable how some of the men felt that they were being ignored, mistreated. Their rights were being taken away. Because listen to what their rights were. Their rights were to own their wives, to be able to prevent their wives from signing documents, from, you know, if you go back just a little before any of that, 1920, you know, 50 years before Earl Warren, actually 34 before Brown versus Board of Education, women got to vote. So it wasn't even that recent. You know, I mean, it was that women got a chance to vote. From 1920 to 1950 is such a short period of time. Men were very upset. And here, after all of this, look what they were being told. And I'm going to go through some of this. Let's start with Engel versus Vitale. This was where we established the separation of church and state. It doesn't say in the Constitution that we must separate church and state. I mean, there are a couple of lines about religion in the Constitution, and the Supreme Court interpreted it to mean we were separating church and state. So here's the thing. If you believe that there should be a state religion, which in our case would be Christianity, because at one point 70% of the people in the United States were Christians. Before that, it was even higher. Now we're down closer to maybe 50 or 55%, something like that. I mean, it's a high number. But the point is that we don't want to tell people how they have to live as far as celebrating their religions. We don't want to tell anybody that sort of thing. We pretty much agree. I mean, this is going to be a 90% to 10 deal where people are going to say that we agree that whoever you are, you should be able to pursue your own religious beliefs, and nobody should make you feel that your religion is subservient to another religion. It's just, we don't do that. And the Supreme Court put it into black and white in 1961, Engel versus Vitale. But you know we're pushing back on that now. I mean, nobody's jumping up and saying, let's demean another person's religion. But we all know that this business of putting up the Ten Commandments in everybody's classroom, that this is prohibited by the Supreme Court, that it was done not to hurt anybody, the reverse, to help everybody, not to put down the Ten Commandments, but to allow anybody who wants to pursue the Ten Commandments to do that, and to allow Ronald Reagan Jr., who says he wants to be free from religion, to do his thing, to pursue whatever religious or non-religious beliefs he's got. That's why he gets on television And he says, after he goes through his whole little thing on how we shouldn't be controlling people's religious views, he says, you know, I'm Ronald Reagan, not afraid to burn in hell. And it's kind of funny, and, you know, but it's funny because it's partly true. He doesn't believe in any of this, and he doesn't want to be pushed into anything. And that was the meaning of separating church and state. You go to church for your religion. You go to the polls to vote for your government. But you don't go to your polls to vote for somebody's religion. You do your religion in your church. And we do our politics at the polls. That's the only thing that they were saying back in 1961. But I can tell you that there have been people who have been burning over this for 50 years, 60 years. They're tired of it. They think this is unfair. They want to be able to proclaim their religion everywhere, and they can. No one is stopping them. But you can't put the Ten Commandments or the Quran or the Torah or anything else in a classroom. None of it. The classroom is not for permitting the school to try to impose a religious view on students. We don't do that. That's what the Supreme Court did in 1961. Sounds impressive, really. And to me, as a young constitutional law scholar at that time, I mean, I thought, this is tremendous. You know, you've got the Supreme Court trying to protect people in fabulous ways. It was exciting. Now, unfortunately, here we are in 2024 trying to reverse every bit of it. And by the way, if you're listening, Les, and you probably are, I know you just tried to call. I didn't have Bluetooth connected, but I do now.
New board.
Huh?
The new board doesn't have the Bluetooth set up yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Never mind. Doesn't work. Can't take the phone calls. So relax. Leslie, go relax. It can't be done. Okay. So, and that's why we don't even have it up on the screen, but my brother likes to push the envelope, and I don't blame him. That's okay. I never told him otherwise. Okay, so let's back up. Engel versus Vitale, we were protecting people. We were expanding people's rights within the country. We were making it possible for Ronald Reagan Jr. to get on TV and to say anything that he wanted to say about religion. But now it's being pushed back. And that's not the end of it. What else would they like to push back? Well, Griswold versus Connecticut is one. Griswold versus Connecticut. There was a case where a family was using birth control. And the government found out. Now, here's my point. How would they find out? Why would they find out? Why would they want to know? Well, you better go try looking up Project 2025. Remember, Michael, who just wrote in speaking about divorce rights, and that you're right, Michael, that's in Project 2025 too. They are going crazy. Do you have the right to get divorced if you're married? I guarantee it's a 90-10 issue. guaranteed. I mean, these are all 90 to 10 issues. These are things that everybody in the United States wants to be able to do. Practice your religion any way you want. Not have somebody impose theirs on you. You have the right to be divorced if you get married and you're not happy anymore. You can use birth control. I mean, these are all 90-10 issues. But the Project 2025 Heritage Foundation people, given this assignment by Donald J. Trump, have come up with all kinds of ideas which essentially make the United States Iran. This is creating an Iranian theocracy. This is crazy. Somebody the other day said to me, and it's true, this is like the Taliban. Why would we do this? But they're not through, and I'll get back to the few more constitutional law cases I want to mention shortly after I help you to figure out where to go to eat after you expend all this energy fighting against Donald Trump's version of the unified Reich. And, you know, people don't talk about that much. I'm not sure why. Maybe they're afraid. But Donald posted it online and promised that he would deliver the unified Reich as soon as he became president. And then he quickly pulled it down and claimed that someone else put it there. Just like he claims that he's never heard of Project 2025. So, you know, this game, this is an old Donald Trump game. He tells you what he's going to do, and then he turns around 2 seconds later and says he never heard of it before, and then he thinks that he'll be able to bring out all of this language at a later time and say, well, I told you. It doesn't matter. He won't be elected dog catcher, I promise. Really, he won't. All of this nonsense right now, there's some enthusiasm around the convention and, you know, J.D. Vance is going to speak tonight and that's supposed to be a big deal. I am telling you this, there is a campaign coming and it is going to be brutal and it is going to be won by the Democrats because women, blacks, and this is the real interesting part, young people. And that's where we have to wonder, because there's no question that there are young people out here who are attracted to Donald Trump. I don't know if it's because of the television show. I don't know if it's because they're crazy. I don't know what it is. But there are some. Now, Joe Biden still leads by a substantial margin among young people. But a lot of young people do say, we need somebody under 80 to be president. And you know what? That might happen yet. I don't know if you heard today. If you didn't, there are more people who have come out and talked about Joe Biden getting out of this race. But I'll come to that in a minute. First, let's go to Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and it is a terrific restaurant. First, they've got ribs, which I love. They've got baby back ribs. I love them. They taste so good. Everybody loves them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the only one who does. But I may be the only one who doesn't like the or the wings. But don't get me wrong. I haven't even tasted the wings. I just don't like wings. But anyway, they've got wings, and everybody says they're great. And that's, again, you know, one of the main things that you're going to want to think about when you go to Wendy's is those terrific wings. And then, of course, they've got hamburgers and cheeseburgers and patty melts and pizza. Come on. Everybody loves pizza, right? And believe me, they got great pizza. They've got outstanding onion rings, which I love. They've got salads. They've got drinks. They've got everything. I mean, it's a terrific restaurant. Great people working there. Excellent atmosphere. You might catch Ben there if you're lucky, which lately I've gone there a few times, and he has been there. You know, I got to tell you, Wendy's is a terrific place to go, and 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road's the place to go. Enjoy all their great food, and when you get through, if you're still hungry, all you got to do is drive down the road to Defiance, and they won't even know how much you're really eating. Because you go to Defiance, 2999 South Highway 94, you can pretend it's the first time you started eating all day and go through the whole process all over again. I can't speak for how much weight you're going to gain, but at least nobody will realize what you're actually doing. Wendy's Roadhouse in Defiance, 2999 South Highway 94, all the same great food that you can get in Chesterfield Valley. Go to Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for a jewelry store, 4506 Hampton's the place, and that is Jewels on Hampton. Al and AJ have a terrific jewelry store. It's not just a store where you can buy some jewelry. It's a jewelry store where you're, first of all, dealing with just fabulous owners who you're going to love to meet them. You really will. You've got questions about jewelry, they'll be able to tell you anything you want to know. They can design jewelry for you. They can help create jewelry that you tell them how you want it designed yourself. I'm telling you, they do everything. And if you want to look through all the different jewelry that they've got, they've got cases and cases of jewelry throughout this giant area, and it's there for you to go look. And really, it's just a terrific place to buy and sell coins and jewelry. You can do that as well. And at the end of the whole process, if you realize that your watch isn't working, just pull it off your wrist, hand it over to Al, and they'll fix your watch for you too. They do everything. It is Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. Al and AJ, AJ's his son. Check them out. And finally, one of the great suit stores in Missouri, and that's the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. They are on the corner of Central and Forsyth. And all of the great clothes that I buy come from the St. Louis Suit Company. And here in 2024, as the fashions have changed, I can now wear blue jeans with my suit coat and Chucks with my jeans and a nice shirt and tie. And there I am. I'm dressed up for 2024. That's perfect. So you want to learn about all the new fashions. And believe me, I've been told by family members that what I think is so new is not even that new. But that's okay, too. The point is, it's acceptable. And that is sport coats and suit coats and shirts and ties and jeans and all this. It goes together beautifully and all can be acquired at the St. Louis Suit Company, Forsyth and Central. And here's the deal. We're quickly moving through July. I understand it's, you know, 90, 100 degrees out every day. But soon enough, you're going to be thinking about how you need an overcoat. And if I were you, I'd get down there right now and take advantage of some of the great bargains that they have on overcoats. Really nice overcoats. Okay, they're 2023 models. Who would know? Really, go check them out. St. Louis Suit Company, and don't forget the $5 ties, because those ties are amazing. Silk, beautiful designs, $5. Can't beat it. And again, that is, after 29 years, the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Okay, so let me go back to the Supreme Court here for a minute, because there are some other things going on that are really important, things that you're going to care about. For example, there was a case, Mapp versus Ohio, very famous case from the 1960s, where the police came into somebody's house, showed her a piece of paper, claimed it was a warrant to search the house. That wasn't true. They went through the house. They found some things in there that were illegal, which belonged to this lady's boyfriend. And then they wanted to prosecute everybody. Only problem is, the Supreme Court said, if you want to prosecute people, you want to investigate people, you want to search their homes, whatever you want to do, you need to have a real warrant. And you need to follow the legal procedures. And if you don't, then the government, the courts, must exclude any evidence that's acquired illegally. You just can't go and get anything you want from people without following the rules. That's called due process. Listen, the Supreme Court didn't change the Constitution. They just enforced it. They just said, look, we have rules, we have procedures, we have due process. You must enforce it. And if the police try to go around it, then you've got to exclude any of that evidence that's acquired when you go to the courtroom. It's called the exclusionary rule, and it's not hard to figure out. And again, it's a 90-10 deal. Everybody in the country agrees that when the police come after you, they have to follow the rules. Now, I understand the idea here on the part of some is that there might be a criminal. And that criminal, if the rules aren't followed, might be able to get away. Wouldn't even be in trouble. You break the law, but because the police break the law, you get to go free. The problem is, most people aren't worried about that. There are some who think it's wrong. And I can tell you right now that, you know, I brought up this article from Amy Coney Barrett. And you know, she went through this whole thing. I'm sorry, Barrett. See? Joe Biden. The problem is, some people feel that some of these laws, some of these decisions were made at the court in a way that didn't really deal properly with this idea of what they call textualism. I mean, this is all inside baseball stuff, because the public isn't worried about any of that. The public knows that they want the police to follow the rules. Just like Michael wrote, yeah, we'll be like Russia. The KGB can just knock on the door and tear apart your house. But see, that's not what we're doing. 90% of the people in the country don't want that. So that's why Mapp versus Ohio is an important decision, which we know the Supreme Court has followed as a precedent for 60 years. This is our entire system of constitutional law. You know, in this country, the legislature passes laws, but also the courts make decisions that become part of what we call case law. And these precedents that are part of case law, that's just as important as something that is passed by Congress. In fact, maybe more so, because the Supreme Court has said this is the rule and you have to follow it. Miranda versus Arizona. Everybody knows what Miranda rights are. We all have seen enough Law and Order episodes, and you know that you've got to read somebody their rights if you're a police officer. It's not that hard. All you're doing is telling them what their rights are so that they don't go off doing things that they shouldn't do under the Constitution. We want to make sure everybody has a fair opportunity at being treated right under the law. Again, Amy Coney Barrett says in her article, which I brought up here and told you where to find it. You can really go find it immediately if you just go to scholar.google.com and you put in Amy Coney Barrett, and next to that you put stare decisis, stare decisis. It's just precedent. And her article goes through a very important point, which is that we have precedents that the court follows. And she says in this article that some of these decisions that she and her mentor, Antonin Scalia, also very conservative, they felt were decided improperly. But she said, we're not going to go back and tear these things up, because if we did, we'd destroy the whole legal system. Those are decisions that are going to stand, because we know that it's the right thing to give people their rights before you take them into a jail where they're going to be asked questions. You want to make sure that they understand the procedures before they come under all this process, because they might be innocent. That's the point. We protect innocent people, at least in our words. Now, granted, there are guilty people who go to jail, but the system intends to protect people who are not guilty. That's the intention. Brown versus Board of Education. Again, Coney Barrett says it was decided improperly, but we're obviously not going to go back and say that black people can't go to restaurants, that they can't go to your schools anymore, they can't go to swimming pools. Come on. Aren't we better than that? What a dumb question. Go ask them out in Francis Howe. Go ask them out in Wentzville. Of course we're not better than that, because there are white people in all of these places who want to shut down diversity and equity and inclusion. Why? Because they're afraid that if their son or daughter is sitting in a classroom and they learn about slavery, somebody might come home feeling uncomfortable. Gee, I'm so sorry to hear it. How uncomfortable do you think black people were for 400 years from 1619? So, you know, if your child is uncomfortable learning about what the United States did starting in 1619, well, guess what? We're sorry. We can start off by saying, we're sorry, but guess what? You're going to have to be uncomfortable because you're going to have to learn about the truth of American history. And then we have to treat people today fairly in our classrooms and even at the border. Well, all of this was to say that when Sheldon Whitehouse and Joe Biden are talking about Supreme Court reform, which they are in a big way yesterday and today, and this is going to go all the way through to the election, and they're going to keep hammering this. And one of the things I guarantee is going to be involved is expanding the court, which is a necessity after Mitch McConnell and those crazy people didn't follow the rules when they were preventing Barack Obama and later Joe Biden from getting their appropriate choices for the court, which were then turned over to Donald Trump. That is ridiculous. And it's got to be fixed. Well, we can't fix it now, but we can fix it with the next president and with a Congress that is dominated by Democrats in the House and in the Senate. And then they can walk in and fix it. Expand the court by four people, put four liberals on the court, then you're 7-6 with a liberal advantage, and then work it out. And believe me, after what has been done to precedents just so far on the Supreme Court, that 7-6 new advantage to the left will be the least anybody can do. Because, in fact, the things that they will do will be very important for expanding freedom and liberty in this country. It's so funny that the very people who claim in the Republican Party to love freedom actually want to put themselves under a theocracy like the Iranians have under the Ayatollahs. Of course, the Iranian people don't want this either, you know. They want out. They know better. Unfortunately, 40% of the people in the United States know less about democracy than the people in Iran. And that's pretty sad. A few other things I wanted to touch on, which I've mentioned before. But for example, I just think it's amazing that Trump and his pals are all talking still about black jobs. They haven't figured this out yet. They don't know that when they give this explanation about black jobs and what they're protecting, that what they're essentially saying is that all black people can do is menial work and that immigrants are being brought over here to do the menial work that black people are supposed to do. Black people aren't stupid. They don't want to hear this. I am telling you now, and I've said this over and over, and you'll be able to know the truth of this when the election comes. Of course, you might not believe it because you'll say that it was rigged, which is another idiotic discussion that we were living with in this country. But the fact is, black people are going to vote maybe 5-8% for Donald Trump. And the other 92% or so will go for the Democrat. Now, if it's Kamala Harris, I can guarantee it. That's no discussion. If it's Joe Biden, I'm still sure that it'll be 8% at best for Donald Trump. So, you know, add everything up and wait until Election Day. But I promise you, this unbelievable story that's flying around out here about all these black votes that are going for Trump, it's all in his head. And if you listen to what he's saying, well, that's your fault because it's not true. Tim Scott got in a big argument with the mayor of Milwaukee arguing about the black vote. And you know, Tim Scott is just parroting Donald Trump. And at this point, I don't even know why. I don't know what he thinks he's going to be appointed to. But that's another story. The mayor of Milwaukee, on the other hand, I think is sounding very sensible when he says that the historic position of blacks voting for the Democratic Party, despite its flaws, they understand who in this country is trying to promote fairness and decency, equality, diversity, and inclusion. It's the Democratic Party. And what the Republican Party wants to do, that will end any chance that any black votes will end up going for Donald Trump. And believe me, again, as we get into this campaign, the Democrats are going to hammer on this. They're not going to keep quiet. They're going to bring this out every day with evidence. With evidence. Okay. I definitely wanted to get across to you the fact that Donald lost today. Not so bad. He only lost $50 million today. And really, that's not so terrible. I mean, there are many days when he loses $100 million, $200 million, a billion. But no, today he only lost $50 million, so that's good. That's that crazy thing of his, DJT, which is on its way to, I'm going to say, $1. That sounds reasonable. So you can be looking for that in the near term. And then as far as the markets are concerned, they were a little rough today. The favorite tech stocks, they got slammed, and they got slammed very hard. In fact, the losses there in 5 days have amounted to over $1 trillion. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden or any Democrat. They didn't do it. It's just you've got a marketplace that's very narrow. The narrowness of this advance that has taken the Dow Jones and the S&P to new all-time highs, it's bound to be reversed. It's not going to be just a one-day deal. I mean, it might bounce back a little bit tomorrow and the next day, who knows, but I'm just telling you that this is on the way to problems economically. And what you need is an economic team that knows what to do about it. And the great part about it from the standpoint of the Project 25 nuts is that they've got an entire chapter from page 731 to 739. So that's only 8 pages. You can go read it. They've got this brilliant idea for how to destroy the Federal Reserve Board. And I assure you, this is all coming from Stephen Moore, who is the 100% greatest quack economist in the United States today. The man is nuts. And people follow him in the Republican Party. They believe some of these ideas. They want to go back to things that were changed in 1932 by Franklin Roosevelt, because he knew that we were in all kinds of trouble and we had to fix it. He opened up the system, which has resulted in the greatest success in managing economic development, really, in the history of mankind. And to try to undo it now is just lunacy. Like I say, 731 to 739, you can read it in Project 2025. Go pull it up off of Google. It will make you crazy if you can understand it. I understand also people don't know enough about economics to realize what's being said. But essentially what they want to do is shut down the Federal Reserve. Not smart at all. And the people from 1930 will tell you all about it, including those who suffered from the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, which is another great idea that the Republicans are trying to dump on you at this very moment. Listen to J.D. Vance tonight. I'm sure I'll have some of this to explain to you. I'll be back tomorrow, remembering that we're only here because of the St. Louis Suit Company and Wendy's and Jules on Hampton. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.